Hello, this is the podcast for tonight's class, which is September 1st, and it's class number 4. And we're continuing to talk about our standard of care that we expect for anyone doing any activity in order to define or avoid liability in a tort action for negligence. So our standard of care that we require people to meet is just reasonable care under the circumstances. It's flexible. It takes into consideration variabilities, and it does not, and it's not overly difficult to meet, so that it's not designed to have a very high degree of liability. If we wanted a lot of liability, we would have strict liability, which means you're always going to pay for the accident you cause. Negligence, we backed away from that, and now it's liability only if you're behaving unreasonably, if you have created unreasonable risks by your activity. So your standard is to avoid creating unreasonable risks. So the question is, we talked about last class, who makes that decision with something, whether something's an unreasonable risk or not? We saw Goodman and Pecora. Goodman, the judge said, you know, I can set a rule here, what reasonable care is, and if you don't do it, then you're not behaving reasonably. Had to come along, Pecora had to come along later. Whenever there's a, I always say, whenever a rule, a standard is elevated to a rule, somebody's going to come along later and change it. It cannot survive. Same, Pecora comes along and says, well, the result was right, but you know, we can't have a rule that fits all occasions. Now we're talking about, we come along two cases, Aiken and Andrews, that talk about not behavior, but design issues. And in Aiken, the court decided that they could decide as a matter of law that this ball field design was adequate. It was reasonable. It didn't create unreasonable risks. As opposed to Andrews, where Judge Kaczynski decided, you know what, when we're talking about the design of overhead bins on an airplane, it can go to the jury. The jury can decide this as well as any judge. Aiken takes the question away from the jury, decides by the judge as a matter of law. Andrews leaves it up to the jury. Two different ways of dealing with the same problem of who gets to define what reasonable care is. The proper role is of the jury. It's a question of fact, but under what circumstances can the judge decide? Question, what's the how do you distinguish these two cases? Is it's so, some of you have suggested that ball field design is not conducive to technological changes, no advancements. It is what it is. It's always been that way. And any sort of mandate by the court that makes any decisions doesn't really change that much. But if a court were to make a widespread industry design decision as a rule, as a matter of law, it would have enormous industry implications. Whenever the judge decides something as a rule or a matter of law on reasonable care design, it would apply in all circumstances. By leaving it up to the jury, it still is a decision made on an individual basis, on a flexible basis. So just keep in mind how to distinguish the situations where it's appropriate for a judge to decide and situations where it should be sent to the jury. The jury is the one who gets to make the decision in most all situations. But there are times when it is taken away from the jury and decided as a matter of law. But the most common question that we come up against is, well, how do we inform the jury? How do we instruct the jury in making this reasonable care decision? I know that we give the jury gets the fact, and they have to come up with a decision. Based on these facts, did the defendant act with reasonable care, conform to our standard of reasonable care, which is avoid unreasonable risks? Two things that are used very frequently, very influential, the use of custom, industry custom, that is that they fell below the industry custom, or perhaps they conform to industry custom, but using industry custom as a measure of reasonable care can be very influential. It's not going to be dispositive, but it's something influential for the jury to use as a factor, just to decide on the reasonableness of not following that custom. And custom, you know, it shows that there's a safer way. It shows that others have adopted it. They know it works. So custom can be very important. But it's still another factor. It doesn't take the question away from the jury. As opposed to using our statutory violation as a negligence per se. Remember, we were talking about you can use a violation of a statute that was never designed for civil liability. It can, under certain circumstances, be used to set the standard of care in a civil case. Three ways to use statutes: negligence per se, that is, that the case goes to the jury, but the jury has to find negligence. Presumption of negligence goes to the jury, and they have to find negligence unless it's rebutted. It's a rebuttable presumption. That just means the defendant can bring forward their own evidence. Or the third way, which is in a minority of jurisdictions, it's just another factor to be considered by the jury, a statutory violation. Of course, the highest standard, what every plaintiff wants, is the statutory violation to be negligence per se. Goes to the jury, but they have to find negligence. Why does it go to the jury? Because then the next question is also a jury question, causation. So the other elements have to be satisfied for a successful cause of action for negligence, but the question of meeting the standard of reasonable care is automatically precluded by the statutory violation. What makes a statute set the standard of care? Not every statute is going to set the standard of care. It has to be a safety statute. It has to have been designed to avoid precisely the kind of accident that occurred. And it has to have been designed to protect the class of plaintiff that your plaintiff falls into it. So not every statute can be used to set a standard of care. Not every statute is a safety statute. So, for example, licensing statutes are rarely used to set the standard of care. The fact that I drove my car without the fact that my driver's license had expired and my automobile and I get in an accident doesn't mean negligence per se. Automobile licensing, all licensing, is not considered to be a safety statute. So just because I'm driving with a suspended license or an expired license does not necessarily mean negligence per se. Even if I'm in a negligence per se jurisdiction. The fact that your dental hygienist has let her hygienist license expire does not mean that it's negligence per se if she or he injures you during cleaning your teeth, for example. The concept of negligence per se is considered to be so powerful that courts don't want to overuse it. So there's limitations on it. has to be a safety statute designed to protect against precisely the kind of injury that occurred, the kind of accident, and the kind of plaintiff. Even in a negligence per se jurisdiction, can you avoid negligence? When can negligence per se be avoided? As Ted LaVie Elman showed, that if it is, if you can show that by not complying with the statute, you actually were safer than if you had complied with it, it may be considered an excuse. The restatement section 15 even talks about this. By showing that noncompliance was the safer way to proceed, you can avoid the strict provisions of negligence per se. Because negligence per se is a huge, huge tool in the arsenal. It gets you directly to the jury. And remember, the defendant is always trying to avoid the jury. The plaintiff is always trying to get to the jury. So negligence per se for statutory violations is a huge advantage. And so the court has some very specific strictures against it. Okay, so next class we're going to talk about proof of negligence, how facts are used to prove negligence. This class, remember, I talked about inference and presumption. Inference means it allows a jury to come to a conclusion, but they don't have to. Presumption means a jury has to come to a conclusion unless it's rebutted. Next class, we're going to talk about how inference in particular is a very powerful tool used in establishing negligence.